turn to another forehead. Now will you turn to yourself, to yourself? Now will you say,
Father, we glorify you today. Blessed be your mighty name, O King of Glory. Hallelujah. as the people gather unto your name, we ask that there will be an increase, oh God. We know that nothing we do but the full stature that is in Christ Jesus, that we all grow into that stature of Christ, that perfect stature of Christ, because that is the mark of perfection which the Father wants every man to attain to. Christ is our crown, and we pray, oh God, that we are not just hearers but doers. Let there be a stirring up in the hearts of the people so that they can move on to achieve this thing. Praise God. We know the story. The story is not something we've heard over and over again, and that is, we lost out on the all power, all peace, and all glory of God. Isn't it? In Adam, we all died. In Adam, we fell short of the what? The glory of God. So, but in Christ Jesus, we are all made alive. In Christ Jesus, we are all made alive. In Christ Jesus. See, Christ Jesus is presented to us today through the gospel, through what we are hearing today, through what we are listening today. And actually, it is not I speaking, but it's the Spirit of God that is speaking in the hearts of men, revealing to them the true creation of God, which is Christ. And we are that creation. See, we fell short of that glory of God simply because we lost out on that true image or that true creature of God. So he's here to restore us back to that glory, that impeccable glory. See, that along with the glory comes the paradise of God. Along with the glory comes the all power of God. See, along the glory comes the peace, the righteousness that is without law, righteousness that is of God. So we're not just talking of any type of righteousness. You know that there are many definitions of righteousness that we men have defined righteousness in different ways. But Paul said that I may know him and the power of the resurrection. And he also prayed that, you know, he might partake of that righteousness which is of God, not of man. That is the true righteousness of God. See, and that righteousness, we all possess that righteousness inside of us. It's only a matter of rediscovering this mystery of Christ. See, we go around in circles, we preach these things to remind each other daily, so that this opportunity does not pass us by. You know, we don't want to be like many who just pass through this world without knowing anything. See, Ecclesiastes says some people, you see, it's like coming into this world, into darkness, and you leave, you depart in darkness. You come to this world, you don't even ever come to realize who you are. See, you come to this world, never coming to the knowledge of the truth. But we are not in that category. See, we want to awake, we want to consciously enter in. We want to be partakers of this thing we are here, this great salvation. Praise God. So he's here to restore that glory. See, we all lost that glory in that Adamic experience we've had. See, we were all indoctrinated, weren't we? We were all indoctrinated with the beliefs of this world that we live in. You know, this world is darkness. This world, spiritually speaking, is what they call the abyss. You know, in the abyss, like you see in Genesis chapter 1 verse 2, it just talks about a realm of nothingness, a realm of dense, gross darkness. And you know, when there is darkness, you can't even see yourself. When there is darkness, you think that you can see. You don't even see the other person, yourself, talk less of the other man. What does Jesus Christ mean when he says, you wash your eyes, then you'll be able to see your brother clearly? You know, we don't see each other. You know, we don't know each other when we walk after the flesh. When you identify people after the flesh, you know you're not seeing them. When we walk and identify people according to the way we are taught of men, according to the wisdom of man, we are not seeing them. It's a world that is in pure darkness. Darkness. See, along with the darkness comes the tribulation, comes the fear, the anxieties, and all the problems of life embedded in that darkness. It's a realm of the dead. A realm of nothingness. Everything you go out to achieve when you wake up in the morning and come back is all it comes to naught in a twinkle of an eye, a naught. You know what I mean? You just wake up one day, you discover that you were just like dreaming. You did not achieve anything. You did not do anything. See, you think you have a family, you think you have a this, you have that. At the end of the day, you wake up, you discover you have nothing. You are only living in relation to shadows, you know. And these shadows, they flee away when the sun rises. When the sun rises, what happens? The shadows are no more. And everything that's hidden is now brought to light. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is what the world is. So this is the realm we descended into, and we lost all awareness of what life is. See, we lost all awareness of what truth is. And we've gone through this suffering for nothing. Just like the prodigal son. The prodigal son went through that suffering for nothing. See, he just went around in circles and circles, in tribulation, in lack, in uncertainty, in anxiety, feeding among pigs, in humiliation. See, continuously until he now came back to himself. He came back to his senses. Praise God. Now what is happening is that we are coming back to our senses. This hour, we are now awakening. We are coming back to our senses and we are beginning to realize that our life is that life in the spirit, which is Christ. Praise God. When the prodigal son awoke, what happens? He hears the father say, all that I have is yours. So I was just there in a little cube box, suffering sense of lack, poverty, not knowing that everything that in heaven and earth belongs to me. Not knowing that all power belongs to me. Not knowing that all the riches and all the gold and everything underneath the earth and everywhere belong to me. But I was there, being led astray by the darkness, the blindness that was in my mind, in my heart. Praise God. So the whole purpose is to get man back to the glory. You see it? He says that if you overcome, I will give you to eat of the tree of life, which is where? In the paradise of God. If you overcome, I will cause you to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. He wants to take us back into the paradise of God. See, if you overcome, I will cause you to do what? Sit with me on my throne. Praise God. See, all these precious promises are the things that Christ has put at our disposal today. We will hear the message. We will hear the truth. We who can perceive truth. So that we can enter into another story. See, praise God. Hallelujah. It's something that is real. It's something that is substantial. It's something that is real and eternal. See, but we should not be like, dull of hearing. You know when you are dull of hearing? When you cannot hear. You know it? You know Jesus Christ was here on earth. They could not see him. They could not perceive. They could not hear him. They were deep asleep. Their spiritual faculties was all shut so that they could not receive the beam of rays that was radiating from Christ. That is not our portion. See it? We are those who listen, you know, and follow on to know the Lord. Praise God. Jesus Christ made a statement, which we are going to just examine briefly. He says, they shall see the Son of Man coming where? In the clouds of glory. I'm going to read this one briefly. Mark chapter 13, verse 26. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. That great power and great glory is the glory and power that we lost in the beginning. See, that is the glory and the power of the Father. Who is this Son of Man that is coming in the clouds of heaven? Who is he? See, this is prophetic word here. Matthew 24 is something that is fulfilled over and over in every person that is awakening to truth. Praise God. We all descended into the abyss. We all died in Adam. See, but right now, the trumpet is sounding and the four winds of the Spirit, which is the Spirit of God, is gathering the elect, the sons of God, who have been dispersed, you know, in the uttermost part of the earth, which is the deep, the great sea, and they are being gathered where? Back to the uttermost part, you know, of the heaven, which is the peak of Mount Zion, which is where God's presence is found. That is the place you have the clouds of God's glory. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of glory. This thing is fulfilled in you and I as we are waking to the reality that Christ is our life. Praise God. This thing was fulfilled in Jesus. Those days he was here on earth, you know, displaying the mystery of godliness. He was actually appearing in the cloud of glory. What they were seeing is the Son of Man. See it, the one that was born of Mary and, you know, natural birth and all that. They saw him appearing in the glory of God. Because he never walked as a man. He was walking in the glory and the power. That excellent power, see, that he descended from in Adam. You know, Jesus Christ too experienced the same thing. You know, Jesus Christ experienced death. He experienced what life is as a human being. Life is as a human being just talks about nothing but limitedness. It's a low dimension of existence where a man becomes reduced to something like a beast. You know a beast? You know what differentiates a beast from a real man? From a real creature of God? See, a beast just lives in relation to this natural material plane. The beast operates by the natural senses. It does not have the ability to operate by the what? By spiritual faculty. It doesn't have it. See, the beast, the animals in the field don't have eternal life. See, they're here one moment, they're gone. See, but we men have that spirit in us, and we have that spiritual faculty in us that can cause us to be aware of God's world, that can cause us to be aware of the invisible realm, the eternal realm, which is the real realm. The animal don't know God. Praise God. All the animal does is just to how he can just satisfy his you know, his desires, his carnal desires and carnal needs, and that's all. See, it does not have that ability to see into that eternal dimension of God. It lives after the natural instincts. We can call it the carnal mind. Now that is how the natural man of this world believes. When you don't walk by the Spirit of God, see, when you walk according to the wisdom of this age, you simply walk in relation to this material plane, material world. At the end of the day, you discover they are just temporal things, things that don't have eternal value. Jesus Christ experienced that realm. See, he too had emotional attachments to certain things in the earth at certain times. He had emotional attachments to his flesh. You know, at the cross, he had to cry. He had to ask God that, please, if it was possible, you know, let this cup pass over me. He felt the pressure, that normal fear of losing his life as every man. He cried when Lazarus, his friend, you know, at the stage, he cried. That is the human aspect of Jesus in his play. So he too felt the limitedness of man. He tasted of what death is. He tasted of that life, what it means to be separated from God. You know the problem that we have today is that feeling that, you know, we are apart from God. That separation from God, when you have separation, when you sense that you're anything apart from what God is, what you begin to feel is that you will never feel complete and perfect. You know that? You always want something to add to what you have. You know that? Praise God. Now, God is God. See it? God, you cannot call God poor. You can't call him rich. See, you can't call him incomplete. You can't call him anything. He is. I am that I am. See, and when we live a life, in that sensation that we're anything apart from what God is, we are going to suffer the lack and the tribulation that men suffer. Praise God. That is why the prodigal son was suffering. The prodigal son was suffering because he felt that he was separated from the Father. The spiritual lesson we have in the prodigal son is the descent of man, the separation from man, from the Father. That was the spiritual lesson we learned from the prodigal son. But the Bible says he came back to himself. Who is himself? Himself is I and the Father are one. He came back to himself. And when he comes back to himself, he says that everything is mine. He's given the ring, which talks of authority. And he rules and he reigns in the Father's house with joy and singing. No more, you know, in the wretched clothes of a servant, of a laborer, feeding pigs. No more in the dimension of want and lack and all that kind of stuff. See, all these things come with man's descent. All the tribulation that we have in this world, the fear, you know, at times we feel that we lack this, we lack that, we need something to be complete, we need something to be happy, we need this, we need that. It's a lie. All you need for your happiness is to discover who you are. That you are. All every man needs for his happiness, for his, you know, peace and joy, is to rediscover the kingdom of God within him. Praise God. And when you are awake, as you are awake from your deep sleep, your mortal sleep, you appear in the clouds of glory. Now, this is what the Apostle Paul was trying to teach the Thessalonians, or rather, he was reminding the Thessalonians of, you know, the same way we are reminding each other daily about these things that we hear. Paul also wrote this letter. If you study the contents of this letter, you discover that Paul had already shared these things already with the Thessalonians. And obviously he assumed that they knew what he was talking about. He says that at the sound of the last trumpet, what happens? The dead shall be raised. This 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You see, I'll start from verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead shall be what? In Christ shall what? Shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up where? With them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with this. Now, comfort one another, meaning that this is our hope. Comfort one another with comfort. comfort one another with this means remind yourself of this hope, this great hope, and continue to believe and continue on, you know, in your good works. Continue on in the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. Continuity. Now, Paul is talking about this same principle of appearing in the cloud. He said that those that are dead shall hear the sound of the voice of the archangel. Now, what is this sound of the archangel? What is this voice, this shout of the archangel? Is it one massive angel coming out from heaven to shout and call the people in the cemetery to comfort? No. It's simply talking about the voice of the Spirit. See, what blows the trumpet? It's your breath, isn't it? Are you there?
Yes.
What blows the trumpet? It's not the breath.
Yes, not the breath.
See it? You remember Jesus when he did it? Remember God when God breathed into the in Genesis? Hallelujah. That breath is that thing that comes from the depths of man. Or rather, the depth of God, sorry. We're talking here of the Spirit of God, the wisdom of God. Everything that God pours into us. It talks about the celestial wisdom of God. Praise God. The Spirit of God is given to us to know the things that be of God. The Spirit of God is given to us to begin to see things and perceive things from the, you know, perspective of God, no more from man's perspective. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
When we receive this breath, this trumpet, this sound, as this, you know, this truth streams out from the heart of God, from the depths of God to us, there is an awakening. Aren't you awakening today? There is an awakening occurring today, and we are beginning to rediscover this immortality, this life in us without beginning and without end. But we begin to discover that, you know, we actually originated from that cloud. We are beginning to discover that the way it is the way we are. We are beginning to discover that the Lord is our life. We are beginning to discover that that light, that perfect thing that has been from the beginning, is our life. Praise God. And when we hear the trumpet sounds, that's what, as you know, this knowledge increases, there's an awakening. The people begin to awake from the dead. See, if you sleep in the consciousness, thinking that you are a human being, see, living in relation to this natural world, this temporal age, you are what? Dead asleep. If you think that you have a life of your own, or a life, you know, independent of the Almighty Spirit, that's the life of God, you are what? You are dead in your sins and trespasses. Praise God. So the raising up, as in the resurrection, what men realize is that they are joined back to the Lord. This is what it says here in verse 17. So shall we be with the Lord forever. So shall we ever be with the Lord. That is a union with the Lord. It's a spiritual union. See, Paul said that we are one spirit with the Lord. One what?
Spirit.
One spirit. Are you listening?
Yes.
One spirit with the Lord. See, that cloud represents the body of the Lord. It's a living cloud. It's a spiritual body. It's an incorporeal body. It's an eternal body. It's an invisible body. It is the embodiment of the invisible and incorruptible God. Everything that God is, the fullness of God, is invested in that body. Praise God. And as we come to our senses, as a man awakens from the dead, hallelujah, he realizes himself flowing in that cloud, flowing in that eternal spirit of the living God. And what people behold without, they see you coming where? In the cloud of, who are they seeing? The Son of Man in the cloud of glory. People around, what they see, when they see you manifesting this thing that we are saying today, when you walk in the light, as is in the light, they see the light. They see the Son of Man walking in the glory, in that, you know, coming in that great power and the glory of God. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Lazarus saw the Son of Man in that great cloud, in that great glory. That's why he went to meet him at night. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
You know, Jesus Christ was in that glory all along. He was in that cloud while he ministered here on earth. You know that? You know he was in that cloud. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. He was in that cloud. When they ascended up the mountain of transfiguration, they saw him in that, you know, encompassed with that cloud. The three disciples said they saw what? A cloud. A bright cloud encompassed Jesus. Actually, their eyes were simply open to see Jesus the way he was in the spirit. Throughout the days of his ministry, he was actually manifesting himself through that cloud. He was in that cloud. Praise God. Hallelujah. And the promise of the Lord is that we who patiently allow the Lord reign in us, those who of us who patiently keep these words of truth by exercising ourselves in truth, see it, and letting go of all for the kingdom of God's, for the sake of God's kingdom, will appear with him in glory as he appears. Now, who is the he that appears in glory? Who are we appearing with? Now, I'll just quickly turn to Revelation. Are you there? Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. 1 minute. Let me get there. It says, where am I? Where am I? I'll start from verse 2. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard. Hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know with what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names in Sardis which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed with white garments, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
What is he saying here? He's saying that those who are worthy will appear with him in white. Now, those who appear in white are those who appear with him in the clouds of great glory. These are the messengers of God. These are the angels of God. Angels are messengers. These are the ones who have dedicated themselves to live solely on account of the Lord. See, you are watchful when you are spiritually alert. You are watchful when your spiritual senses are open, the eyes of your understanding is open, and you no longer walk according to the course of this age in the vanity of their minds. See, you are alert or watchful when you are constantly, your eyes constantly focused on God's kingdom and that eternal presence. So, well, you know the men in this age are distracted. You know, the men of this age have their eyes, you know, focus on many, many things, and they are distracted. Amen?
Amen.
The men of this age in reality are what? Are asleep. See, well, if you are not watching, you are what? You are asleep. See, if you are not watching, you are asleep. And when you sleep, you lose all awareness of the reality of Christ in you. You lose all awareness of truth. And you just go about, you know, living a life as you know, as you want. And that method, what does it do? It leads you to death.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's why he says that Jesus Christ says, watch and pray, watch and pray, watch and pray. Now, it's not very easy, eh?
Mm-hmm.
You know, watching and praying is easy to say, but when I say watch and pray, to keep yourself elect in the things of the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, in a crooked and perverse generation like this, is no easy task, but with God, all things are what? Possible. So watchfulness to keep yourself. Keep yourself, you know, your garments, keep yourself undefiled with the lust of this age, since it needs determination. Watchfulness. Your eyes have to always be focused on the things of the Spirit. Your eyes have to be always be focused on the things of Christ. Paul says that let your treasure, let your mind sit. Let your eyes always be at the right hand of God where Jesus is seated. Because from there comes our salvation. See, what does the psalmist say? The psalmist says that I look unto the hills. From whence my what? Are you listening? I look unto the hill from whence my help comes. My help coming from what? From the Lord. Now what are the hills you are looking up to? So you are looking into the invisible. You are looking into the beyond. In the heights of Zion. That's the invisible realm. Your eyes focus on the presence, on that invisible presence, because you know that is where your salvation lies. That is where your hope is. That is where your treasure is. Everybody who will be saved will be someone who will be watchful. Watchful and mindful of that thing. Don't be carried away with the things of life, the cares of life, how to survive, how to eat, how to progress. All these things will pass away. See, we've seen somebody, you know, as you go along the line, you see many things, you hear many things, you know, and we never learn, we never seem to learn. We think that probably you can gain something in this world. See, you think you can, you know, kind of carry something which along with you and make some kind of, how do I put it, make something out of this life on it, but you cannot. Let me just tell you, you cannot. The only thing a man can gain is that life, that crown of life that has been promised to us by the Savior. Christ Jesus, hallelujah. Amen. The privilege we have today is that those who are watchful, those who keep themselves in truth, those who steer themselves in the Spirit, will appear with him as he appears. In a letter to Timothy, Paul says that those that have suffered with him will reign with him. See it. When Christ, who is our life, appears, we shall appear with him. See, the appearing of Christ is manifested through us. We who are patient, we who unite with him in truth, we who are working. We are the ones that manifest him in the flesh. Hallelujah. We are the ones who come, who the world sees coming in great power and glory. Remember the brothers James and John, you know what, they were brothers. James and John, they are brothers actually. And their mother was, they were there with Jesus, and their mother was there, and you know, their mother asked them, will you allow my children to appear with you in glory? You know, obviously, she still had that Hebrew belief that somehow the coming of Christ is from something physical. Mm-hmm. So she was asking, and maybe the brothers will appear with Jesus in glory. Of course, Jesus Christ replied, you know, in a spiritual manner, because he knew that these things are recorded, and those who hear and understand will understand. Now, Jesus Christ says that, you see, can you drink of this cup that I'm about to drink? He asked her. He asked her concerning the children, can they drink of this cup that I'm about to drink? We're talking of the cup of death. See, the cup of his sufferings, the contradictions you suffer when you begin to walk in the light. Because when you begin to walk in the perfect light, as is in the light, in the Spirit, at times, you know, they think something is wrong with you, you know. Your brethren will be praying for you, your friends in the church will be praying for you, and your family members at times might begin to get worried. You know, they were worried for Jesus too. You know that? The Bible says that a stage came, the brothers of Jesus and the friends came to take him, force him to go home. They wanted to take him home, that they thought probably he has gone mad. So the Bible says that they came to take him home. They came to correct their brother back home. At times they think that you are not. The time comes when they think that you are mad or you are foolish. See, there is a man who was born yesterday, grew up normally like you and I, who played the same pranks that we played in school. Nothing different. He went to the toilet the same way we went to the toilet. He ate the same way we ate. He did the things that we did. So why is he now coming to claim that he's Son of God? How does he claim that he has everything when he doesn't even have a donkey? How can he claim to be God, to be his father, when we all grew up together? Mm-hmm. Praise God. So you know they looked at him as, you know, the attack comes when you drink. Jesus Christ asked, can you drink of this cup? The cup of the soul is the contradiction you will face. See it. And at times you have to turn your back on your emotional desires. You know, at times our emotions have been set on, you know, certain things on the earth, family members and all these things we have to let go of these things for the kingdom of God's sake. Praise God. So that they too can be saved. It's very important. Because if you go on deceiving each other, all of you will only just wind up in darkness and die of, perish off. So one has to take the sacrifice to move forward. See, in the book of Acts, the Bible records that the brothers of Jesus were believers. They were among the disciples that went to, you know, that waited for the baptism. They were among the disciples that gathered to see Jesus in the resurrection. The brothers of Jesus. These same brothers who did not believe him some months back, these same brothers that thought he was mad, they now believed him. So at times somebody has to take the sacrifice and move ahead. So Jesus Christ asked the brothers and sisters, are you, that is James, I mean, sorry, excuse me. He asked John and James, can they drink of the cup of the kingdom? Meaning that those who will appear in glory, in the glory of Christ, are those who are willing to take of the cup of death. He was ready to die and let go of all for the glory of God, for the sake of God's kingdom. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. So you see, we are the ones, hallelujah. Those who appear with him are those who have left all attachments, all sentiments to this world. And they walk solely on account of God. These are the angels and the messenger that Enoch saw and Enoch prophesied, that the Lord cometh with myriads of angels. He cometh with his saints to judge the world. These are the ones appearing in the clouds of glory. Hallelujah. These are the mighty angels of God, unveiled from heaven for men to see and behold and to admire the beauty of God. The same way Lazarus admired Jesus, that is the same way men come to admire the beauty of the creation of God as manifested in these sons of God who appear in the cloud of glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's a wonderful thing. You know, Daniel saw the same thing. Daniel, you remember Daniel? Daniel saw the same vision of the Son of Man appearing in the clouds of glory. This was, can you imagine, Daniel is somebody that hundreds and hundreds of years before the appearance of Jesus, he had already prophesied this great event that must be fulfilled in our lives. Amen. Praise God. Amen. We must appear in the cloud of glory. Is that right? Amen. Hallelujah. We are the ones destined to manifest this glory. Hallelujah. For the whole creation waited for what? For the manifestation of the sons of God. This is what the creation is waiting for. See, this is what many who have gone ahead of you are waiting for. See, many who are without hope, who are miserable, are waiting for this manifestation of the sons of God. They appear in the clouds of glory. And these are the ones that gather the elect. They gather those who are wasting, hallelujah, in the sea of destruction. They gather them from the abyss into the glory of God. Hallelujah. And because this Daniel is quite... The book of Daniel is quite long. I'm going to dedicate this to another message. It's a very, very shocking mysteries here. But I'll just quickly run down to verse 13. Daniel chapter 7 verse 13. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Hallelujah. And there was given him dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. You know that Daniel was seeing you and I in the glory cloud of God coming. See it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Coming in that cloud of glory and being presented unto the Ancient of Days. You know what Paul says? He says, when Christ has subdued everything in us under him, see, when Christ has subdued everything in us under him, so that it is only Christ in us, we are also submitted who? To the Father, to God. So that God becomes what? All in all. The Ancient of Days in this instance is a picture of the Father, of God. Hallelujah. So we see an ascension pattern here. The Son of Man being taken up in the clouds of heaven and brought to the Ancient of Days. The Bible says he was brought near to the Ancient of Days, and unto him was given what? All dominion, all power, all glory. Hallelujah. And a kingdom that shall never what? Pass away. An eternal kingdom that shall never what? Pass away. You know, this is the same prophecy that, you know, the angel gave to Mary. He said, you shall bear a child, and his kingdom shall have no end. He shall sit on the throne of David his father. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. That birthing is happening in us today. We will hear the truth and adhere to the truth. Praise God. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful thing. All power and all glory. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ at the end of his ministry said what? All power in heaven and earth has been what? Has been given over unto me. Amen. All power in heaven and earth has been given to me. This was the word of Jesus. See, this thing was fulfilled in the life of Jesus, and it is to be fulfilled. It is being fulfilled right now in our own what? Lives. Because he has come to give us the power. See, what does it say in Revelation chapter 3 to the church in Laodicea? He said, to him that overcometh, I shall do what? Will I grant to do what? To sit with me on my throne, even as I overcame and I'm sat on the throne of my Father. Now, when you sit on the throne of the Father, it means that you have a what? All power, all authority, all glory. Meaning that same glory, that same power, that same dominion, everything is restored to those who have the ability to adhere to what the Spirit is saying in this hour. It's a great thing. Praise God. You know, we can come to the place where we reign, where we are at perfect peace. See, where we walk in the reality of God upon the earth. Praise God. Hallelujah. The Son of Man coming in the clouds of glory, it all talks about the ascension of every child of God from the lower places of the earth. We know we all descended. We all became mortals. We all became, you know, like the creatures of the earth, the beasts. We lost all dominion in Adam. We lost all power. We lost all glory. But all this is restored back to us through Christ Jesus. Praise God. The trumpet is sounding right now. Hallelujah. The winds of heaven, which is the Spirit of God, is stirring up the waters, gathering the people from the furthermost part of the earth, gathering everybody, people who are lost in the darkness of the abyss, gathering them back into that cloud. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that we can once more be presented. We can once more flow back into the Father. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
You know, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. You know, the mind will picture Jesus on one throne, then the Father on one throne, then Jesus on another throne. But that's not what it means. It simply means that Jesus is ruling right now as the Father. Praise God. For there is only one. Oh, there's only one, eh? This is the mystery of it all, that there's only one. And we all are part of that one. There's only one man, one throne, one God, and we all are in that one. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So that there is only one spirit. Hallelujah. How lovely it is when brethren dwell in unity. Isn't that in Psalms? How lovely it is when brethren dwell in unity. That unity is in the spirit. The way they are neatly woven in one into one spirit. It's a unity that cannot be achieved in this world. It cannot be achieved in all these things you see in church where you say, I love you with the love of the Lord, and you hug each other and all that. No. That union is achieved only as we ascend in the spirit. It's a oneness in God that cannot be understood by man. When we speak the same voice, we have the same mind, we understand each other, we know our very move, hallelujah, because we have been, how do I put, we have grown into that oneness, into that bond of oneness in Christ, and it's only achievable in the spirit for those who are saved, hallelujah. So the Son of Man coming in the clouds of glory is you and I, as we are sent back to the Father. Praise God. The trumpet is sounding, and this thing continues from age to age. Hallelujah. As we appear in this clouds of glory, manifesting the mystery of godliness, many other brethren also follow suit and ascend into that same cloud. And it's a continuous process. It never ends. Praise God. The same way the disciples beheld Jesus ascend, they also ascended into that cloud. Praise God. And today we are hearing and we are also ascending. And as we ascend, others hear us and also ascend into that cloud. Praise God. For when they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven, many shall believe and they shall be converted.
Amen.
Praise God. Isn't it an honor to appear in the glory of the Father? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus Christ will say, Father, glorify me with yourself, with the glory I had with you before this world was. Now, if you don't understand, tell me. You understand me? See it. Jesus Christ says, glorify me with yourself, with the glory I had with you before this world was. Now, when you hear prayers like this, people try to dilute it. They think it's probably a mistake. But Jesus Christ is trying to say that his true self is the Father. See it? His true self is what? Is the Father. I am the Father and what? And what? That's what Jesus Christ is saying. Glorify me what? With yourself. With that same glory I had with you before the world was. Now, all that was lost as he descended and became born of a woman and all those, he lost all that. But divine inspiration brought that remembrance back to Jesus. And he says, I ascend to the Father. And when you ascend, you are in that cloud. As he was ascending, you know, all of this was here on the earth. He had not completed his ascension. He was still going on. He was still ascending to the Father. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Remember what he told when Mary came to touch him one time? When he said, no, I'm not. Don't touch me. I'm not yet ascended to my Father and to your Father and to your God and my God. You see it? So you can see that we all have the duty to ascend back to that same Father of Jesus Christ and that same God of Jesus. Isn't that what Jesus Christ says?
Mm-hmm.
He says, I ascend to what? My Father and your
Father.
My God and your
God.
I ascend. The Bible says that he has gone ahead of us as a forerunner. Meaning that we all shall follow that same path. At the end of his ministry, Jesus Christ was taken up in a cloud. The Bible says that a cloud took him and separated him from was lifted up in a cloud. Praise God. And this is the same part that we are taking today. The cloud, like I said, is the body, is the spiritual body. It's humanity as a man, that vessel, everything that he had to do with the earthly, everything that he had to do as a man, everything dissolved. And he entered back into that spiritual cloud, and he remains in that cloud to this day, eternally. That cloud is a spiritual body. It's an invisible body, like I said. And therein lies our consolation. That is our origin, and that's our destination. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So, our prayer and meditation day and night, see, is that we are not carried away with many, many pressures and the cares of life. And we are not carried away with the many, many fables, many, many, you know, things that devices of men. But the focus should simply be how we can, you know, continue an ascent. Ascent back consciously to realize this thing in truth. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Constantly, constant ascension. Praise God. Constant awakening to realize this mystery of the oneness that we have with God from the foundation of the world. Now, this is what the whole gospel is all about. He has come to give us understanding, that we may know that we are in Him. That's God. See, that we are in Him, and this, and you know, we're in Christ. Yeah. Now, those of you on you, let me quickly read this. This I'll close here. First John, I'll just close this. Let me just read this before I close. Like I established, Christ is that cloud. Christ is a spiritual body. Is a cloud, see it, and is the embodiment of God. See, it's not flesh and blood, it's not a human being, a spirit. You see, so we must be born again. Hallelujah. We must be transformed, we must transcend the human sense of life that we've had. We must let go of all that stuff and hold on to that life in the spirit. 1 John chapter 5 verse 20 says that, and we know that the Son of God is come, is come in us now. Now he's down, now he's here present in us. The revelation has come, the light has come, and has given us understanding. This is the understanding we are receiving today, that we may know him that is true, and that we are in him that is what is true. And this is what, in his Son Jesus Christ, this is what the true God and what eternal life. This is the whole purpose, this is the whole understanding. Now, if you look at this, if you read this thing properly, you see that he's saying here that he didn't come to change anything. He didn't come to do anything new. He's simply coming to reveal, give us understanding, because we lost this understanding. Our minds was darkened with the lies of this age. We lost this crystal clear truth. And he has come to give us that, inject that understanding back into us. Praise God. That's why he's unleashing his spirit upon us today. Spiritual wisdom, celestial wisdom, so that we might know the true God and eternal life, and that we are in Him, which is Christ. That is the ascension. Praise God. Hallelujah. You realizing this thing is an ascension from the earthly, from the lie, from that which is mortal and temporal. See, the lie is your human life. The lie is the life that you formulated for yourself, separated from God, outside that body. See, people still want to hold Jesus and love him and want to look at Jesus as something from outside, but what he's saying here is that we are in him. That is our life, that we are one, that is our, we are in that body. It's a spiritual body. One body, many members. Is that what Paul calls it?
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. And that is the whole essence of the gospel. We have to ascend back into that cloud, which is Christ. Ascend back into that spiritual body. Hallelujah. The earthly attachments, the life that we've carved out for ourselves after the flesh has to dissolve. Dissolve at the light of his presence. Dissolve by the revelation truth. Our groaning and our prayer should be like Jesus, Father, glorify me with thyself, with the glory I had with you before. Hallelujah. Those who serve me, my Father will honor, my Father will glorify. Hallelujah. The Father honors us so that where he is where we will be. Hallelujah. We stand in the place of absolute light. We stand in the place of all power.
Amen.
We stand in the glory cloud of God. Praise God. Amen. Father, we exalt you this day. Thank you for your word. We pray for understanding, even if somebody, any of us that don't understand what we've spoken about today, we pray for greater illumination.
Amen.
Even for those who have not been able to catch this mystery that we've spoken today, that you illumine the eyes of the understanding.
Amen.
To know the mystery of our sacred oneness.
Amen.
From the beginning of the world.
Amen.
For you loved us from the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. We are always been in you. You never left us, you never forsake us. Hallelujah. We pray, oh God, that there will be a continuous dawning in our hearts. Let the veil over the faces be rent, so that we can know the joy of your salvation to the fullness. Hallelujah. Cause us to be like troubadours, declaring your truth in all faithfulness, walking in truth in all faithfulness. Blessed be your name, oh God. And the people say, Amen. 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 Amen.
As you are praying, I saw a rock.
Mm-hmm.
In the rock, there was a stream of water
flowing through the rock.
Flowing through the rock, yeah. That's what the Lord showed me. Yeah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, the Lord is taking us to solid ground. You know, rock. Have you heard of the rock of ages? You know, Christ is the rock. You know, that's the same rock that was in the wilderness, that Moses will hit and the rivers will flow out of it. You know it?
Yes.
Hallelujah. That is our life. That is our salvation. Praise God. That is our life. That is our hope. See, if we stand on this rock, we can never die. If we stand on this rock, we are, you know, immovable. We remain eternal in the heavens. Hallelujah. And we drink of those streams flowing with life, the joy of the Lord. It's a great privilege, brethren. Hallelujah. Paul says that we have been called to an inheritance that is not movable. You know, see, heaven and earth will be shaking. There will be a shaking continuously. Continuous shaking. And things are moved left and right. Things are taken away. Kingdoms are overthrown. Things are, the shapes of things are, they wax old. The things change. But there is a place of stillness where nothing ever changes. It's just absolute peace and joy. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name, Father. Amen. Amen.